encouragement to our hearts, and thank God for the opportunity to be here, as I already said. But I want to mention, too, we've got some calendars back there at the back. Make sure you take one of those, calendars for next year, and got our church name on the front and everything. And then our monthly calendars back there, copies of those. If you didn't get one of those, we run out, I think, maybe last week on those. And maybe a sore of the Lord. I think there's a few of those. And then I think we've got a new one that I need to bring it maybe tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah 57. If you would, stand as we read the scripture. And begin in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 57. And begin in verse 13. The Bible says, "When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Amen. Let's go, Lord, in the word of prayer. Hey, Brother Johnny, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house once again today, Lord. We thank you for all the safe travel that took place, Lord.
And yes, Lord.
Pastor and his family back to be with us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, again. We thank you again for this fellowship time, Lord. It's time to come before you. We spent Sunday school time to learn your word, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you apply those learnings to our heart, Lord. We pray that you give Keith the message you'd have him bring to us today, Lord, and apply it to our hearts. Give us something to do with it, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you go with us and
yes, Lord.
Safe traveling this afternoon, Lord. Bring us back again tonight, Lord, for another message, Lord.
Yes, sir.
And again, give him that message you'd have us to hear, Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in Isaiah chapter 57, I preached a message before out of verse 15, but I guess you could say maybe this morning we've got a springboard text, if you will, and we want to take our thought from verse 14. But I couldn't help but backing up and reading the verse and then reading the verse ahead of that. I thought, if there's a lot of things, I guess that puts it in the right perspective. In verse 13, it tells us that the person we're supposed to trust in is the Lord. We trust in the Lord. We put Him first, and we put our faith and trust in the Lord, and the Lord will help us through every situation, and help us to be in a right relationship with Him. And He is the one that inhabiteth eternity. That's the only place you'll find that word eternity in your Bible. We might use it a lot when we talk about things, but most of the time you maybe have the word everlasting or something like that in the Bible in a lot of places, but this is the only place the word eternity is found, and it talks about the Lord. And He's the one that inhabiteth eternity. And then He closes in that verse and telling us that it's also us that are of a humble spirit and us that are of a contrite spirit. We're also there dwelling with Him, if you will. In fact, I think this is a good reference point to go along with that verse in Ephesians where it tells us that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful position that we can have in Jesus Christ. He said we dwell also with those of a contrite spirit and the humble spirit, if you will. But in verse 14 he says there's something we need to cast off. There's something that we don't need to have. There's something that we don't need to be, if you will. The scripture says in verse 14 to take away or take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. And I guess there's a lot of things that we can look about, and I might have preached a message before about as far as the sinner goes, there's a lot of stumbling blocks and a lot of things that's keeping them, maybe a lot of roadblocks, if you will, that should keep them away from hell and should keep them and point them toward Jesus Christ. But also, in the same respect, there are some things that trip them up, if you will. There are some things that they stumble at, and many people are stumbling at today, and they're not coming to Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at just a couple of those things, really. In fact, that's Satan's desire, like I said a while ago. You know, the devil doesn't want us to be faithful to church. The devil doesn't want us to be here this morning. The devil doesn't want us to keep on keeping on through adversity and everything else that happens and ups and downs in this life. And everybody else says, you know, everything's going bad and going to get worse. And well, still with the child of God, I tell you what, it's good and it's going to get better for the child of God. Amen. I mean, if it don't get better in this life, praise God, when you get out of here, it's going to get a whole lot better. Amen. Because we're going home. Amen. Singing about home this morning, even in the choir. We're going home. Praise God. We've got a better place to look forward to. But you know, this world, folks, I mean, the devil desires for sinners to be ignorant of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. If he could do anything, whatever it is, if it's religion, if it's looking at somebody else, if it's what somebody else does that might hinder them from coming to Jesus Christ, or if there's something they've heard or something they've been taught or something they've got a hold of somewhere, anything that'll make them ignorant of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that's the devil's strategy. That's the devil's tactic, if you will, to try to make people ignore the finished work of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost." It's hid. There's sometimes that they don't see it. They don't get it. The door's not being opened. Why? Because one thing the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The devil's blinded their heart. The devil's blinded their spiritual understanding. And they're just not seeing it. They're just not getting it, as we'd say. You know, they're just not getting the message of the gospel. There's something tripped them up. There's something that they've stumbled on. There's something that's hindered them from seeing Jesus Christ. In fact, I tell you what, one thing we ought to be concerned about, there's nothing in our life. There's nothing that we're doing. There's nothing that's in our life that's an occasion for them to stumble. It's an occasion for them to slip and to fall and to stay away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and their hearts and minds be blinded to the truth of the Word of God. Bible, in fact, tells us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Some thing that we think that's our liberty, our Christian liberty to do, may be a hindrance to somebody else. Hey, you know, we could say this morning and we could shout and praise God that every person in here that could give a testimony that you're saved and on your way to heaven, that's something to shout about. That's something to praise the Lord about. And we could all give a testimony that we're saved and on our way to heaven. But it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just stop that, hey, we've got a testimony that we're saved. We need to be serving the Lord. We need to be living for the Lord, because there may be something in our lives that's hindering somebody else coming to Jesus Christ. We ought to be concerned about that. Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts about some stumbling blocks, and I'm not going to give you a whole bunch here. I've just got about three, okay? And I've got a pretty early start for a three-point message, and I ain't got no sub-points. Not even under the last point, okay? We just got 3 points, all right? And we'll go to the house. I don't even have a poem. But let me give you 3 thoughts here. First of all, discord in the church is a stumbling block in the way of sinners. Discord in the church is a stumbling block in the way of sinners. The Scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, and chapter 6, beginning verse 16. The Bible says, "These things doth God hate." "These 6 things doth God hate, yea, 7. Are an abomination to Him." I guess we ought to be concerned about that. And we ought to think about that if God says there's something that He doesn't like, if there's something that He says He hates here. Well, He lists about 7 things. He says, "A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies." Number 6, if you're keeping count. And then last of all, He mentions, "And he that soweth discord among the brethren." He that soweth discord among the brethren. I believe this is one reason that definitely the Lord hates it, is because it's a stumbling block to sinners. It's a stumbling block in the way of those that are lost. The Scripture tells us there in our text that we read, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block. He's saying, hey, there's a way that's leading folks to the Lord. There's a message that's being proclaimed by the church of the living God. There's a truth that every lost sinner needs to get and needs to hear and needs to be given to them. It needs to be shared with them. Well, I tell you what the devil would like to do, though. He'd like to mess that up with discord. He'd like to mess that up with contention. He'd like to mess that up in any way that he can. Can you imagine it? Hey, think about that church at Corinth. If there's any church that he begins in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians commending some things about them. He said, boy, I mean, you come. In fact, he says, you come behind in no gift. That's what he said to that church. He said, you know, you've got the love of God. You've got what you need. You come behind in no gift. But then he had to go on to say, there's contentions in the church. He had to go on to say there's strife in the church. He had to go on and say there's a division among you. That's two words that he used in that first chapter, contentions and divisions. And so what did he end up doing? He ended up, especially that first whole letter, dealing with some of those contentions, dealing with some of those divisions, if you will. And over again, there was a problem after a problem that Apostle Paul had to deal with at that church at Corinth. Amen. But you know what? He said, you come behind in no gift. Hey, they had the message. They had the right message. They had the truth of the Word of God. They had what they needed. They were equipped with what they needed to do to get the job done, praise God. But the devil wanted to see that hindered. They wanted to see that hindered by some discord. They wanted to see that hindered by some strife that was there in that church. And I'm thankful that God's blessed gospel way down through the years, and God's blessed in a great and mighty way with some unity and some standing behind the pastor and those things. And that's what is needed in the house of God, not discord, but agreement and unity, praise God, because that's what's in the early church. If there's a great example of what a church needs to do, we can look in the Bible in Acts chapter 1 and we can see a church that was together for Jesus Christ. Over and over again, that speaks about them being together. Of Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. There's 120 there. They talked about them being in one accord. Then he goes on to say in the next chapter, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Again, they were in one accord. And then again in chapter 2 and verse 46, again he says they was in one accord. You know, have you ever had somebody tell you a joke and it just took you a while to catch it, you know? Well, I know you have, because I tell them to you all the time and it takes you all a while to catch it. But some of you, but anyhow, I remember somebody told me one time, he said, you know, there's a car that's mentioned in the Bible that held more people than any car today, and it was an accord. All right, anyhow, I didn't get it neither at first, okay, but it's here in the Bible. Verse 46 says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Over and over again, he got to say, praise God, the church was in one accord. But you know what was mentioned in that chapter also? Hallelujah. There's 3,000 souls got saved. Amen. Then a little bit later, there's 5,000 more got saved. Just the number and the men, didn't number all the women and children that time, but there's 5,000 of the men that got saved. I mean, can you imagine a spiritual multiplication like it was on that day? I've said before, it just tear the secretary up. It'd tear Angie up. We'd have to add 3,000 people to the roll. She'd say, I need some help. But there in that church, they went from 120 and added 3,000, they added 5,000. I mean, they just couldn't keep up with it. God blessed in such a way. And one of the reasons was, that was one stumbling block that got out of the way. That was one stumbling block that wasn't there in that early church, praise God. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 133, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only three verses, okay? Behold how good And how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity? He said it's good. In fact, if you read that, if you look at that verse, it ends in an exclamation mark. It doesn't end in a period. So you say that with emphasis. How good and how pleasant is it for men to dwell together in unity? And then he goes on to say, it was like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, which went down to the skirts of his garments, like the precious ointment, picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And then it says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, that there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He said, just like the presence, just a picture of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Like Dave sung a while ago, let me feel your spirit once again. Just like that sweet presence of the Holy Spirit can be there when we dwell together in unity. That sweet presence of the Holy Spirit can be there when we're in one accord. That sweet presence of the Holy Spirit of God can be real to touch hearts and to touch lives in these days. I know that if there's anything that's missing in a lot of churches today, it's old time conviction. There's just so many things. We got things happening in our life and we don't come prayed up and packed up and ready to go. We don't come praying that God will move on the service like He really can and like He really wants to. And if we'd come in that accord, if we'd come in that vein that praise God, we're going to pray that God will move a special blessing upon the services. Some don't get here in time for the prayer room and things. But we need to be prayed up before we get here, praise God. Come pray and the Lord will move in a special way. And if there's one that's lost, they'll come down to this altar and get saved by the grace of God. Hey, I know that there's been some times I've been in churches that, I mean, you just feel the presence of the Lord and so great. And we felt it around here too. And it just seemed like there's no way somebody lost could leave out of the building lost. I mean, if they did, boy, they'd feel just as miserable as they could feel. I mean, that because the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God would be upon them. And I've seen some leave like that. I mean, we can't win them all, but what I'm trying to tell you is we don't need to have a stumbling block in the way, though. We need to pray about a stumbling block to be out of the way that the presence of the Holy Spirit of God will be real in the church, praise God. I mean, God's good to us, and God's a blessing, and God's a meeting needs, and praise God for that. But you know what? The devil would like to do anything he can to slow down what God's trying to do. The devil would like to throw a wrench in it, if you will, to mess things up. But praise God, we know that he's a defeated foe. We just need to keep praying that God will bless us and use us for his glory. I tell you what, there's some battles that we go through. But praise God, the war's already won. Amen. I mean, we are the winners. Amen. You go look at the back of the book. I've already read it. We won. Amen. Amen. Yes. You know, we wait from wait 4 years and we find out who our next president's going to be, and then we find out who won or whatever. But I tell you what, we already know who won. As we know who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know who has all authority. We know who has all power. We know who is still sitting on the throne, praise God. I seen it, and somebody else sent it to me, so I've had it seen a couple different times, and then I seen it in the paper on yesterday in the Gazette, and a fellow put it in there, Jack Kimbrough put it in there, said that, they're named about 10 different things that is going to be true no matter who wins the election. Amen. God's word's still going to be true. Amen. And just a list of things that's still going to be right and still going to be the same. God's still going to be on the throne. Amen. He is, praise God. Amen. But nevertheless, there's some stumbling blocks that the devil's just excited about if they're there in the house of God or they're there in your Christian home or whatever. He's excited about those stumbling blocks because it's something that's keeping folks away from Jesus Christ. Second of all, let me say, not only do we see one stumbling block in the way of sinners is discord in the church, but second of all, another stumbling block is defeated Christians. Another stumbling block is defeated Christians. And I'd go right along with what I just said. Hey, we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to act defeated. We don't have to look like we're defeated because we've already won, praise God. We've already won. Psalms chapter 137, and this is the time that the children of Israel, they felt defeated. They wasn't in their homeland. Bible tells us that they said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept, and when we remembered Zion, we hung our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They almost mocked them by saying, hey, sing a song to us. Then they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? But you know what? Prophet after prophet gave them encouragement that yes, they could. Yes, they still could sing the Lord's song in a strange land, because that's what all of us do. Amen? We're just in a strange land passing through. This world's not our home. Amen? I mean, we talk about, you know, things getting worse and worse, and the morality of America declining. And that's true. But, you know, there's a lot of Christians that's going through a lot worse than probably we'll ever go through in America. We got a letter from the Beams Ministry. And I might bring that tonight and read that little part of it. But they were telling about some persecution in India. Not Muslim persecution there, but Hindus. And there were some of the Hindus in some of the areas, some of the different parts of India are making Christians put up Hindu idols and everything, and telling them to do that, and they're giving them a lot of persecution if they don't follow and worship after Hinduism. They find out they're Christians, there's no telling what might happen. There was a couple fellas that was going down the road walking. They came up on a group of people, a mob of people, if you will, and they searched this one guy's stuff that he had on him, found out he had a Bible in there. And just because he had a Bible, they proceeded to beat him half to death. And while they was beating on him, some of the rest of the crowd dug a hole in the ground. And they buried him in that hole. Alive. He wasn't dead yet. He screamed out to the people that was burying him. He said, listen, you're burying me, but I'm still alive. But they kept right on and they buried him alive. The other fellow got away, and they took him and poured kerosene on him and lit him on fire. But somehow he managed to escape, and he's the one that told the story of what happened to his Christian brother. But you know, I mean, we may never see something that drastic in America. We might. I believe there's going to be some things that drastic after the church gets out of here. Amen. There's going to be things worse than that after the church gets out of here, folks. I mean, when folks are under pressure to receive the mark of the beast, or they'll die. I mean, if they don't have that mark, if they don't have that number, they're not going to be able to feed their children. They're not going to be able to do anything. And some of them are going to be beheaded for the cause of Christ. And that's going to happen right here in America. It's going to happen around this whole world. I don't know what we'll face down the road. But I tell you what, praise God, we're not defeated. We're not going to be stomped out. We're not going to be silenced. We're not going to be stopped. You say, how in the world do you know that? Because the Bible says, the Lord said He built His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're not a defeated people. We're not a defeated folks. Hey, we can sing victory in Jesus, praise God, and mean it. Amen. We ought to, amen. I mean, they hung their heads. Oh, we ain't got nothing to sing. Oh, yes, you do. If you're a child of the King, you've got something to sing. Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've got something to rejoice about. Praise God. We don't have to be defeated. Chris, let me give you this over in Ephesians, excuse me. I read that passage in Psalm, but in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine, whereas it says, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. We can sing songs and make a melody in our heart before the Lord. We can have a song in our heart, praise God. Maybe the circumstances a lot of times can weigh us down, and we can feel discouraged, but I'm sure there's somebody else you can look to. And this is what happens to us personally. Anytime we start feeling down, I know that the Lord's going to put somebody else in our path that's in worse off shape than we are. And that happens many times. And we feel like, you know, we're just nothing and everything's falling down on us, and then we see somebody in worse shape than we are, and the Lord tugs on our heart to help them in some way. And, we can be thankful for God's blessings and God's goodness. What I was thinking about is, think about old Paul and Silas. As they had just seen God move in revival, they'd just seen folks get saved. They'd just seen the first convert of that area, and God had called them over there to be there preaching the Word of God. But they're in stocks and bonds. Not even just in the regular part of the prison, but in the innermost part of the prison. And they're in stocks and bonds. And at midnight, they've already been beaten and they're in stocks and bonds. And Paul looks over at Silas and says, "You got a song on your heart?" Amen. Silas looked back at Paul and said, "Yeah, let's sing her." Amen. Praise God. They started singing and praising the Lord at midnight, and God heard their cries and God heard their prayers. And hey, listen, it don't matter how low you get, praise God, God's still on the throne. We're not defeated. The Bible tells us in Isaiah there's no weapon formed against us that's going to prosper. Amen. We just need to keep going forward for Jesus Christ. We're not defeated. Amen. Praise God. You believe that? Amen. And I'm about ready to stop and call time out and shout right there. That's good. We're not defeated. Amen. That's a stumbling block, though, when we look defeated. When we act like we're defeated, that's a stumbling block in the way of sinners. I mean, a sinner comes in the house of God and we ain't excited about the choir up here singing. We ain't excited about what God's going to do in the service. And excited, you say, I mean, it don't matter if everything ain't just exactly perfect. If you hear the song, you hear the words, you hear the message of the song, you can get excited about it. Amen. And we can have a smile on our face. And we can sing with the joy of God in our heart and our soul. We're not defeated, praise God. Amen. I know I got another point, but I tell you, I got to stop right here a while. Amen. I mean, you hit a stump, you got to just stay with it till you get her up, I reckon. But I'll tell you, I mean, we don't have to come in with our heads hung down low, and we don't have to go out of here, praise God, like that. We can go out of here with our heads high and our smiles on our face and a song in our heart, praise God. I tell you, that's going to be the greatest testimony in this day and time right now. I'll never forget, unless I was pastoring in Belmont when our country was attacked by the radical Muslim terrorists. And we done forgot who was attacked us, ain't we, and everything too. But that's who attacked us. And in 2001, 9/11, I was pastoring in Belmont. And I'll never forget the people that come up to me and said, just because they had a smile on their face, just because they were a Christian, there was folks coming to them and asking them questions and talking to them about the Lord. And they had doors of opportunity for witnessing for Jesus Christ that was open. And you might have seen the same thing yourself. There might have been somebody you got to talk to and the door was open there because they had questions because terror had gripped their heart. But if you're a child of God, terror hadn't gripped your heart completely, because you had a deep, settled peace inside your soul, because you know that everything's all right between you and the Lord. Well, like I said before the election, if God gives us His mercy for a little bit longer, or God gives His judgment, it doesn't matter. We deserve His judgment. We deserve for things to get worse in this country, because we've turned our back on God as a whole. But you know what? Individually, the child of God, even in judgment, even in, hey, we're saved from wrath to come. We're saved out of the judgment. We're not going to see the wrath of God. We're not going to see the days of Jacob's trouble. We're going to be raptured out of here, praise God. But in these unsettled times, wouldn't it be something for you to have a smile on your face at work? Wouldn't it be something you have a smile on your face at school and a song in your heart? Praise God, you're not defeated. You're not knocked down. Praise God, we're going up. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll go on. All right. Last point, let me give you this. Not only that, but let me say, hey, one stumbling block in the way of sinners, discord in the church. Another stumbling block is defeated Christians. And then another stumbling block in the way of sinners is damnable doctrine. False doctrines, damnable doctrines, that's leading folks away from Jesus Christ. Brother Will touched on this on Wednesday night about all the atheists and the agnostics and folks that believe different ways and have been deceived by the teaching of their church or their religion. Hey, that's keeping folks away from Jesus Christ. That's a stumbling block in the way of sinners. We need to preach the truth of the Word of God. It don't matter if it's unpopular. It doesn't matter if people don't like it. You've got to stand on the truth of God's Word. In 2 Peter chapter 2, I was looking for this verse right here that actually says in it, damnable heresies. In chapter 2, verse 1. But I hadn't ever noticed the verse before that. So I'm going to give you the verse before that. It's the last verse of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. It says, and it's talking about the Word of God. It says, the prophecy came in old, not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, it doesn't matter what anybody believes. It doesn't matter what anybody says. If they can't get a hold of that truth right there, they're hopeless. They're helpless until they realize this is God's Word. Until they realize this is God's message. That ain't what you're trying to tell them. It ain't what you're trying to push down their throat. It's what God said in His Word. The next verse says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. Over and over again we can find in the Scripture where the Bible talks to us about a false doctrine and a false teaching. In fact, a lot of times it's talking about the last days. In 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, it talks about the last days. It's going to wax worse and worse. They say there'll come a great falling away. And I know a lot of times we refer that to the amount of people in the services. That's not really the first application there. The first application there is doctrinal falling away, getting away from preaching the truth of the Word of God. You say, but preacher, they won't like it. It doesn't matter. We don't need to hear what we like and not hear what we dislike. We need to hear the truth. That's what's going to change us, amen. As the Scripture says, the truth shall make you free. Listen, the Bible tells us there that they'll bring in those heresies. They'll reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you another passage in 1 John chapter 4. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone in the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Anybody that doesn't confess Jesus Christ, you think about it, what are they trying to get us to do in America today? They're trying to get us to out of a call for political correctness. They're trying to get us to say prayers, but not mention the name of Jesus. That's heresy. That's damnable heresies that are in the way of the sinner coming to Jesus. That's a false teaching because, hey, the Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. They've got to come through Jesus Christ. They've got to confess Him as Lord and Savior to be saved. That's how you got saved, ain't it? You ask the Lord to come in your heart and save you, and you can know that you're saved, because there's been a time that you asked the Lord to come in your heart. But in this day and time, they say, no, wait a minute, that might offend somebody that's a Muslim, or that might offend somebody that's a Jew. Well, we don't need to always try to just offend everybody and make everybody mad, but the truth is, your prayer's not going to get no higher than the ceiling if you're not praying in Jesus' name, as the Scripture says. If you're not confessing Christ, amen, you might as well not pray at all. And I tell you what, I challenge anybody that's a saved, born-again Christian, somebody asks you to pray, and they say don't pray in Jesus' name, you ought not pray. You tell them, I'll go pray for you. I can't participate in that mess. I've got to put Jesus in there because He's the way to the Father. Amen. They want us not to confess Christ. That's a damnable heresy. It's a damnable doctrine. We had a preacher with us some time ago. It's been over a year or so ago now, I reckon. But he was telling us that he had got called upon there in Winston-Salem. He's a chaplain there and over the police force and several other things. He's very active in the town council and everything in Winston-Salem. And he was asked to pray, and the new mayor that was elected asked him not to pray in Jesus' name. And he had a battle with her over several weeks of sending her letters and calling her and different things, leaving her messages, letting her know it's not going to happen like that. So I'm just going to tell you, when I get up there, I'm not going to fail to mention Jesus Christ. I'm not going to fail to lift Him up. And before long, there were some other folks who had been there for many years, still the pastor in there in a church up on the northern side of town there. But anyhow, they finally told him, I tell you what, Brother Ron is not going to back up. He's not going to let up. You might as well just quit trying to get him to quit saying Jesus and quit putting Jesus in his prayer. It's not going to work. And so they didn't get rid of him. He got to pray and got to present Jesus and did that in a tactful manner and everything went fine. But they just knew that he just took a stand. But you know what happened in this day and time? We say, oh, well, it'll be all right to, you know, not say that. That's all right. We don't want to offend nobody. Or it'll be all right not to do this. Or I ain't going to take a stand about my coming to church and different things. And we just let little things just slowly become a stumbling block that we can't be a witness for Jesus Christ to that lost sinner anymore. I tell you what is going to be a stand is, I mean, there's still some people that are looking for somebody to take a stand. They're still looking for somebody that really has a truthful stand for Jesus Christ. And that's what they need to see in this day and time out of us. Amen. I ask the musicians to come around. Lord knows your heart. Amen. Thank God for His Word. Blessing to be in His house this morning. And I know the crowd's a little bit small. Like we said, I know some are traveling, some are sick, and some are working. And